To anyone who didn't spend the early 80s in Canada or didn't watch Nickelodeon as a kid, Alanis Morissette came out of nowhere, released an amazing album called Jagged Little Pill, and made a lot of people learn her name very quickly. And I thank you so much for coming in today.
No problem. Thanks for having
me. Well, the listeners know I'm a big fan, and so are many of them, and we're really excited for this. Briefly, for those who don't know the story, can we get like the quick
Reader's
Digest version of pre-LA Alanis?
Okay. I started writing songs when I was 9. I had been subtly immersed in the industry from the time that I was 6, just playing piano and dancing and doing theater and writing, and released a record independently across Canada when I was 10.
Wow.
It was something that it was compelling for me, and I loved it, and I was addicted to it from that time onwards. And then after that, did some more theater and some more writing and released a couple of records in Canada.
All at the age of?
Between 14 and 18, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, and signed a publishing deal when I was 14 with MCA Publishing, and I've been with them ever since. And then I moved here. I moved away initially to Toronto for a couple of years just to get away from the creative environment that I had been in, and just to learn whatever it is you learn when you're alone. Uh-huh. And then I moved here.
So you came to LA at 18?
I was actually 20 when I came here.
Oh.
I was 18 when I moved to Toronto.
Okay, so then you decided to start writing in a different...
Mm-hmm.
different style?
Yeah, just in a purer sort of more, you know, more for the sake of communication, whereas when I was younger, and I think it's sort of indicative of what the 80s were all about, was just writing for the sake of entertainment back then, you know, just not necessarily being as unadulterated and as forthright, but more for the sake of the music and the external part of it, whereas now... sort of evolved to a place where music to me is a very sort of spiritual thing for me.
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
Cause I can tell, and it's evident from your lyrics. Were you working at the time while you were like meeting people and collaborating and writing? And
was I working as
did you work in LA? I mean, were you a waitress or did you?
No, I didn't.
You had all that money from being successful as an artist?
I don't know. All that money is pushing it. I had enough money to sort of sustain a little bit of a low level of sort of standard of living. And actually, my manager, Scott, lent me some money for a while, too. So, you know, enough to keep going. And I never really questioned whether I'd be able to sustain any sort of lifestyle financially with it. It was always just there. And I'm pretty bohemian, so I never had any sort of extravagant way of living anyway.
Where do you live?
I live in Santa Monica.
Oh, me too. We're neighbors. You got hooked up somehow with Glenn Ballard, a songwriter, a producer who's had a lot of success.
Right. Stylistically, actually, he and I, our paths were reminiscent of each other's, really. And I think when we were set up through MCA Publishing, you know, I know the person that set us up initially just set us up because they thought we'd be compatible as people. And he said, you know, even if you don't write any songs or get any music out of it, I know you two will get along really well. And at that point, I had become somewhat disheartened with the whole collaborative process. So they, you know, it's almost like they were throwing the dog a musical bone. You know, they were like, okay, you're going to really like this person. And Glenn and I got together, and we just started with a clean slate stylistically and personally and creatively. And there's so much synergy between he and I that, you know, it sort of shows in the way that we create music, too.
Yeah, and you describe it as kind of magical that it happened.
Definitely. Very quickly, very accelerated, and very overwhelming. Like, he and I are, I consider us to be pretty analytical people, and we haven't been able to figure this one out.
Well, I want to play this morning some of the songs that people might not have heard, few who don't have the album yet. one in particular, you and Glenn wrote all these songs, you recorded a bunch of them, and you started chopping it around for a deal.
Right.
And
basically, yeah.
And you got a lot of rejection?
Well, not really. We were actually talking to a lot of different companies and rejection in a different sense, in the sense that I wasn't really connecting with them on any sort of cerebral or creative level. And I didn't really expect to, but it would have been nice. And then, you know, until I met Maverick, until I talked to Guy Osiri at Maverick, and he really understood where I was coming from and there.
But before you got to that point, and while you were dealing with all these record industry types, you wrote another song.
Yes, I did.
It's called Right Through You.
It is called Right Through You, and it's there's about 6 or 7 people in there. And some of them were people that I worked with when I was younger, you know, and felt felt in retrospect, you know, really sort of taken advantage of. And then other people that I met just through the process of shopping this deal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a composite of a few people.
Yes, it is.
And in an industry town, a lot of tongues are wagging as to who is she writing about. But the song is called Right Through You. It's dedicated to folks, I guess, in the A&R community.
Well, if some. There are specific people in it. And,
okay.
And I don't need to drag them through the mud.
No, we won't ask who. People can imagine who they want. This is Right Through You from Jagged Little Pill. Alanis Morissette with us on KSCA. Alanis Morissette with us on KSCA. That's Right Through You from Jagged Little Pill. That's kind of an angry song. Mm-hmm. And most people were probably introduced to you by way of You Oughta Know.
Right.
Which, it overflows with emotion. And a lot of it is anger.
Yes.
Justified anger. But that's kind of taking one emotion out of context. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think any one song... alone is misrepresentative, I think, of the whole record, and therefore of me. I don't think any person in this world has one facet to them, you know. And it just so happened that we released an overtly angry subconscious part of me first, and you know, people meet me and they, you know, they don't get any sort of angry vibe from me when they meet me, or any dark energy or anything. But that doesn't mean that I haven't been angry.
So, not to sound cute or anything, but does it make you mad when people describe you as angry from hearing one song?
It doesn't make me mad. I mean, I understand why they're saying it. You know, if they are listening to You Oughta Know, I can understand why they're saying that, but it's just one piece of the pie, you know?
If you had to describe your songwriting, your lyrics in one word, what would it be?
That's a good question. My lyrics are... I just think subconscious, you know, because a lot of times we were writing it, and, you know, songs like Hand in My Pocket were written in less than an hour and recorded in less than an hour, and just, you know, the entire afternoon spent just sort of stream of consciousness with the music and with the lyrics and all at once, and the takes, you know, vocal takes, one or two takes, and the guitar tracks are the same, and I don't know, it's just a really sort of beautiful experience for me, one that I know I'll never forget, and now that I've tapped into it, I'll never be able to write in any other way.
Now, how about honest?
Honest, for sure.
You express a lot of stuff. Now, is that difficult? Mm-hmm. Is it weird when you... Can you think about who's going to be listening? Can you think of, like, your parents listening to some of these songs?
Yeah. My parents actually were... Obviously, they know me very well, and they were actually really happy to listen to this record, and for what may have been the first time, my being really honest was exciting for them. You know, they know what I'm all about, and they also know that the music that I was writing in the past was not necessarily 100% honest, you know, and there was nothing wrong with that, but they're happy. You know, a lot of people question whether my parents are disappointed in my being this sort of straight ahead, but they're happy about it, so...
Mm. Would that be the biggest difference between the music you wrote as a child and now? The honesty, the straightforwardness?
Yeah, that, and musically is a little different too, stylistically. I mean, I still use loops now, but it was just, I guess it was more pop-oriented when I was younger.
Do you feel wise?
Sure.
Because my first reaction on listening to the whole album, and I listened to it a lot, it lived mm-hmm. in my car for a very long time, was how is this woman wrote these songs when she's 20 years old? I'm 35. I am not that wise yet.
Well, I don't know about that. The fact that you can listen to it and appreciate it and understand it means that you have wisdom.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you express it beautifully. You have a way to... one song in particular that I'm going to play in a minute here, You Learn. Mm-hmm. Wow, you say a lot in just, you know, a few words there, and... Do you think people at different stages in their life might listen to it differently?
I think so. I mean, I even listen to it differently. You know, it applies to different situations, different times in my life, you know? So, yeah, it all depends on what your perspective is. So,
as you grow, you have more experience to draw on,
right.
and it means different things to you at different times.
Exactly.
Alanis Morissette is with us at KSCA. This is You Learn from Jagged Little Pill.
Recommend walking around naked in your living room.
Alanis Morissette on Southern California's album Alternative, FM 101.9. That was You Learn from Jagged Little Pill. We talked right before we played the song about women maybe at different ages, people at different ages listening with a different ear.
Mm-hmm.
How about the difference between men and women listening to your music?
From the response that I've gotten from people that come to the shows and listen to the record, it's just that a lot of men change around the he's and the she's and apply to themselves. You know, I consider myself to be pretty androgynous, so a lot of you know, my perspective is I guess from a human standpoint as opposed to a female standpoint. Mm. You know, and I obviously, because I am female, there's going to be certain things that men may not be able to relate to in it.
Right.
It's also sort of a humanist outlook, and for that reason, I think men have been able to understand some of it as well. I mean, men are just as emotional and have as many vulnerabilities as females do. You know, it's a matter of whether they want to admit it or not, so.
Great. You know what? You're giving them a lot more credit than I do, because one thing I noticed last night at the show, at your concert, and just in general discussions with men, is, boy, they tend to overly accentuate the sexual references in your songs.
That is true. I mean, that is true. There are a lot of men that just sort of hear it and they are afraid of me, or they just think that I'm a male basher, and
that, or they're just so obsessed with the sexual pictures that you paint,
right?
And that's what they like seem to focus in on, rather than looking at the big picture and realizing that sex is one element of a whole relationship and life.
Right. I guess it depends on what kind of men we're talking about here.
You're right.
You know, a lot of the men that I've met are very intelligent and very, you know, they appreciate more than just one piece of the pie. And the sexual part of it might jump out more so than other parts of it if you're a very sexual person, you know. But then if you're a very angry person, people will sort of think about that mostly, you know.
Latch on to the anger part,
right? Or if you're a really vulnerable person, you'll latch on to the sad part of it, I guess. I don't know.
So you know, back to the honesty thing, was this like therapeutic for you? Was it a cathartic experience to get, because it had to, you got so much out?
Yeah, I mean, in so many ways, when I was writing this record, I just kept thinking how self-indulgent it was, you know. And I thought, I'm being so selfish writing this record, you know. It's all about me. And even the discussions that Glenn and I would have, you know, we'd be philosophizing and intellectualizing before we'd write the songs. And I thought, God, I'm just monopolizing every conversation here, and not necessarily just talking about me, but talking about my revelations and my thoughts. And it wound up leading to the point where I could write this record with him, but I just felt that I was being really almost overly introspective. And the gratifying part about all of this, though, after having said that, is just that my doing that has compelled other people to do it with their own lives. So it sort of became not about me anymore. It became about people finding something in themselves that related to what I was going through. And that part is good, because I didn't want it to be just all about me, you know.
But that's what you know best, so that's
all I know.
The easiest thing to write about, right?
Right, exactly.
Do you see yourself maybe as a role model? I mean, for young kids, to dig deep into themselves and look truthfully at their feelings.
I guess I guess I am. I don't know. I just know that I know the, I don't know. I know how much it pays off to be vulnerable and to be honest, and how empowering it can be and how scary it can be, but how exhilarating it is when you transcend that fear of being vulnerable. You know, a lot of people ask me whether I'm afraid of how naked I am on this record, and I'm just like, ironically enough, the more naked I am, the more powerful I've become, you know, and the more peaceful I become. I've never been this peaceful in my life, and it has nothing to do with, you know, how well the record's being received and sort of external adulation of all of this. It's just because I'm finally, there's no duplicity with who I am as an artist and who I am as a writer and a person. It's just everything, they all flow together, and it's very, very peaceful place to be.
You're being honest, so right. Yeah, I guess that's very therapeutic in and of itself. You don't have to hold up any fake walls around you.
Nothing to live up to. You just are.
So as naked as you might have felt recording it, how does it feel on stage every night?
Just as naked, believe me. Oh God.
It's got to be harder when you have all those faces staring back at you and you're telling your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it is. It's. I'm emotionally and physically spent after most shows, so it's worth it, though.
Okay, there's another real private moment on this album. It's at the very end. You kind of have to listen all the way through Wake Up, like a minute later, and mm-hmm. there's a hidden a cappella, really emotional, very personal moment. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I play that?
No, not at all.
Okay, is there a name to this?
It's called Your House.
Your House. I think a lot of people can identify with it. Women, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think men would probably be scared by it.
I know. That's another reason why people are scared of me. This song, again, was just sort of a... I was staying in somebody's house in Hollywood that I actually had been welcomed into, and I've never broken into anybody's house. But I just wanted to recreate the same emotion that I felt when I was in that house. And there's this sort of deviant self, subconscious part of me that just really wanted to go through everything. It's like that feeling you feel when you're in someone's house and no one's around, and there's a diary with it, you know, a page open.
Wow.
Everybody wants to read it, you know, and yeah. It's like that's the way that I felt when I was in his house. And at the end of the song, I just sort of, I get myself back for being intrusive.
I feel voyeuristic listening to it, but it is compelling. It shows your magnificent voice just an incredibly personal moment. So mm-hmm. Well, listen, Your House, Alanis Morissette on KSCA.
I went to your house, I walked up the stairs, I opened your door without ringing the bell. I walked down the hall into your room, where I could smell you, and I shouldn't be here without permission. I shouldn't be here. Would you forgive me, love, if I dance in your shower? Would you forgive me, love, if I laid in your bed? Would you forgive me, love, if I stay all afternoon? I took off my clothes, put on your robe, went through your drawers, and I found your cologne. Went down to the den, found your CDs, and I played your Johnny. And I shouldn't stay long, you might be home soon. I shouldn't stay long. Would you forgive me, love, if I dance in your shower? Would you forgive me, love, if I laid in your bed? Would you forgive me, love, if I stay all afternoon? I burn your incense, I ran a bath, I noticed a letter that sat on your desk. It said, hello, love, I love you so, love. Meet me at midnight. And no, it wasn't my writing. I better go soon. It wasn't my writing. So forgive me, love, if I cry in your shower. So forgive me, love, for the salt in your bed. So forgive me, love, if I cry all afternoon.
Alanis Morissette with the hidden track at the end of her album Jagged Little Pill. She calls it Your House. Okay, obviously we don't have time to discuss every song on the album. They're kind of rushing us now. So I'll skip over a bunch of them. Ironic has become one of my favorite songs on the album. And we all have one time or another experienced ironies. Hmm. Now let me ask you this question. You talk about some ironies in pretty cosmic proportions.
Mm-hmm.
But you also include the line that life is a funny way of helping you out.
Right.
Did I miss something? Because in your song, I didn't hear those. I heard, you know, it was a funny really good song that makes you think about life and the weird twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
But where did it help you out there?
In the song, you may not find any lyric that directly points to the helping out part, but in my life, there's been many, many times where things haven't necessarily been going that well, and it just changed in sort of ironic ways, you know, especially just moving away and going into situations where I thought it would be horrible, you know, and then sort of finding out that it was actually a really beautiful experience, or the person I really connected with, that person going into it thinking that I wouldn't, you know. So that happens quite a bit, and it's actually happening right now all the time.
Yeah, I guess sometimes when you least expect it, good things do happen, and good things happen out of bad things. So.
Exactly, and vice versa. So
ironic. Alanis Morissette on KSCA.
Hey, 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 yeah, hey, hey. An old man turned 98. He won the lottery. Died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon, 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
Alanis, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been really a treat.
Thanks for having me.
And it's nice to know that you're as cool as you are in your lyrics. And
I wish
you the best of success. You live in L.A. You're leaving for Europe after...
Japan, like Tuesday.
Wow.
In the morning. So.
And you're gone for a couple of months?
Yeah, we're going across Europe and then coming back. And then we're going to go out again.
Okay, when you come back and visit us.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alanis Morissette on KSCA. And there you have it. Unfortunately, at the end, she was rushed out of here. She was very busy and kind enough to fit us into her schedule. I could have gone on for three hours with her.
May I?
Yeah.
I'm moved. Not only by her, I thought she was just, she really comes across so beautifully. And hearing her songs in the context of her talking about her music was also really powerful. But also to say, great job, Nicole.
Well,
way to go.
Thank you. You know what? This is one of those that I was so looking forward to, and it was such a pleasure doing, because her songs are brilliant, and each one of them is meaning. Like I said, I could have gone on and gone through each and every song on the album and talked to her in depth about them, because there is a lot of depth there. And I love doing it because her work needs to be explored, because there's a lot to it.
And the two of you make a compelling pair there, too. That was great.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. You know what? There's so many great songs. We'll take a break. I'll come back and finish off the hour with one more song from Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette, on KSCA. Don't go away.